hopefully, you know, come September, because I really don't care about July, he'll be healthy and ready to roll.
Yeah, and my sense of it was that was more a spiritual, he needed to get away. You know, like he,
yeah.
I think having, I don't know, and I don't know the history of this, so I don't want to say it for sure, but I can't imagine there's been a whole lot of guys that play that position being left tackle and have done it at a Pro Bowl level in their career that just get tossed around the way Brandon Albert has been in his career.
Yeah.
I don't know if a guy that plays that position has been had to deal with the kind of thing that Brandon Albert's been having to deal with basically for the last 5 years before. And I can understand where he would be really, really frustrated with his own personal situation at this point.
All right, Tony. Have a good show. I'll be listening. Thank you.
All right, there goes Dan Hicken, Jeff Prosser. Weekday mornings here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM from 6 to 10. They call it the drill. We call this Jaguars Today.
11:35 to play in overtime. Pressure coming. Maddox turns and throws. It's intercepted. Rasheem Mathis just got it. He's going to the 20, the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Jaguars. They beat the Steelers.
What a play by Rasheem Mathis.
Ben Barchoffy signals and calls for the waist-high snap. He's got it. Jaguars rushing four. He's got time, and it's intercepted. Mathis has got it. He's going back the other way at the 40-yard line. Looking for a block. He's got it. Rasheem down the sideline. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Touchdown, Rasheem Mathis.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Tony Smith.
All right, it is a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today. Fat Tony here with you. Mike Dempsey remains on vacation. He'll be back next Wednesday. He'll be up in New York next Monday and Tuesday. So the vacation official part of that whole thing ends this weekend, but he'll still be out of town next Monday and Tuesday. He'll join us via the phone early next week, though, to talk a little bit about vacation as well as what's going on with these Jacksonville Jaguars as minicamp continues day two. They'll have one more day on the field tomorrow. Again, today, practice being moved up. I don't know if it needed to be once we got to the actual forecast for the day. I know when I was leaving here yesterday, which is what would have been in the middle of that practice, it was gorgeous. When I was leaving here yesterday, but they had already moved it up the day before. Today, they already moved it up. Haven't heard any word about what they want to do tomorrow as, hello, welcome to June in Florida, where the storms are going to roll in basically every afternoon, and that's been the case here for the last week and a half or so, so the Jags practice keeps getting moved around. They will be done on the field here in about an hour. Quarterback Blake Bortles going to speak with the media after practice today. He'll be the only one speaking to the media after practice. Doug Marrone, as well as all the assistant coaches, will be made available tomorrow following practice. For us, we're expecting Malik Jackson to join us in studio coming off the practice field today, so that'll be in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll have a chance to catch up with the Jaguars defensive tackle, talk to him about not only what's going on in the minicamp, but an event he has coming up tomorrow night. So we'll talk to him about that a little bit later on in the show. We'll give you the opportunity here in a couple minutes to hear the interview, if you missed it yesterday, that I had with Jaguars head coach Doug Marrone right here in studio. We'll get to some of the Brandon Albert cuts as well a little bit later on. It was an interesting press conference from Brandon Albert from the sense of, look, I can almost feel the frustration that Brandon Albert has, and it's completely understandable to me. The way he's handled this whole thing outside of, you know, just talk to your coach and let him know what's going on. Outside of that, I've had no issue with Brandon Albert, but I know some fans have, which is kind of the source for today's fan feedback question of the day, where we're asking you, is all forgiven with Brandon Albert now that he is here? Why or why not? That's not about me, and it's not about the way that I felt about Brandon Albert, and I'm sure it's not about the way that a lot of you felt about Brandon Albert and the way he was handling the situation. We've already got a bunch of the snarky, feel bad about what, be upset about what. It was all voluntary. I get it. I'm totally with you on that side of it. But there are a lot of fans who simply saw a player that wasn't reporting to his team that they had acquired. That's all they saw. They don't care about the voluntary part. And I'm curious to see if anyone's feeling has changed about Albert now that he is here. And if you heard the comments yesterday, I don't think he's any less frustrated with the situation that he finds himself in here, but he understands that you're not going to be handed $9 million doing anything else but playing NFL football. So eventually that was going to overrule whatever his feelings were about what was going on in his career at this point. We'll let you hear some of that a little bit later on in the program. Again, Doug Marrone, we'll let you hear that conversation coming up in a moment. As well, Malik Jackson going to join me. John Osher will join me later on in the program today as well. I think, you know, it's a weird day. I wake up, and in the mornings I usually get to see about, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes of the news before I head down here. And I swear we're not going to dwell on any of this. But it's not like the news any morning for that 45 minutes is very uplifting. Right. I mean, you deal with, you know, three different shootings in Jacksonville basically every day when I wake up. And all I'm trying to do is get the news and or get the weather and the traffic. You know, that's really why it's on for me is to understand, you know, do I need to push up my commute a little bit earlier to get down here for the show? And what's the weather going to be like when I'm heading down here? And what's it going to be like when I'm heading home? That's basically the reason I have it on. But in the middle of all that, you have whatever is happening in the world. And it is, I mean, some days it's a real slog. And today was another one of them with the shooting up there in Alexandria where I don't understand it. Like, I can't get in the headspace of that kind of anger. And look, I can understand frustration on either side politically with what's been going on. I can totally understand some frustration, but for that frustration to boil to a point where you're willing to pull out a gun and shoot somebody because they vote differently than you or represent a vote that is different from the one that you believe in, it's just a headspace that I can't understand. It's just like a headspace that I can't understand with this weekend was the unfortunate one-year anniversary of what happened down at the nightclub in Orlando. I don't understand that kind of hate. It's just, it's beyond me. And I hope, you know, I hope and I pray that one day we're beyond having to deal with these kind of stories on a day-in, day-out basis when it comes to just trying to turn on your TV and get weather. You know, I wish that we didn't have to deal with these things, but it's the reality of this world, and I promise you, again, we're not going to dwell on that, but it's something that's obviously prominent in the news cycle today, so I at least wanted to comment on it before we get back to my favorite diversion from all of that, which is sports. And for these 2 hours, we're going to talk Jaguars football, including letting you hear the conversation that I had with head coach Doug Marrone yesterday here on Jaguars Today. Again, Malik Jackson coming up later on in the program. John Osher will join me as well later on in the show. But when we return, it is a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today. We'll let you hear from the head coach, Doug Marrone, as we continue along, get things really rolling here on a Wednesday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Kicking the crap out of somebody and then celebrating like rock stars afterwards.
And just when it hit me, somebody turned around and started playing that fucking music. Hey, man, here I am, a man on your scene. I can give you what you want. You got to come home with me. Hustling, hustling. Hustling, hustling. Oh, where you going? Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, Coach Marrone, we know what you're saying. Eclectic. Even that group of music there that he was singing along to at practice at training camp last year. It's a real diverse group of music, and I would expect nothing less from Coach Marrone. As I had the opportunity to sit down with him yesterday in studio here on Jaguars Today as we were wrapping up the show and talked to him about all things Jaguars football, but of course, anytime you're talking to Coach Marrone, it may digress a little bit, and it did. Here's that conversation I had with him yesterday. Head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Doug Marrone. You just heard him there with the karaoke. Now, you were singing, I think that was at training camp last year, Coach, that we caught you singing a little bit out there. Now, do you have, like, are you a karaoke guy on a Saturday night? Do you have a go-to track?
No, I actually don't do the karaoke thing. I get out there with the real band and go for it.
Oh, are you the singer or are we playing an instrument out there?
I'm singing. I'm going to go let it out. I mean, why not, right? I mean, something I enjoy, and you know, I'm a thespian by heart. Everyone knows that. I was in a couple plays when I was in high school, and I like it. I enjoy it.
Were you the lead?
I watched the other night. I watched the Tonys.
Yeah, were you the lead in these plays in high school?
Well, you can't get the lead right away now.
No.
I mean, you got to work yourself.
I know you got to work.
You got to work. So my first role was I played Vince Fontaine in Greece when I was in high school. And that was the 1 year because I couldn't do it in the fall. We had fall and the spring. So I played in the spring my first year. I played Vince Fontaine. And then my second year, my senior year, I wound up playing the lead in Damn Yankees. So I played Stephen Douglas and Gwen Verdon. You know, did Damn Yankees on Broadway, so I played a lead on that, which I enjoyed, and it happened because in a Shakespeare class, I had to do a soliloquy on Othello. You know, touch me not so near, mm-hmm. yet I persuade myself to speak the truth. I'd rather this tongue cut from my throat than do offense to Michael Cassio. So, yes, I got a little Desmond in me.
Let me tell you, I did not expect when we had Doug Marrone in that we'd be doing Shakespeare.
No, we got to talk football. That's why I'm here.
I mean, we'll talk football.
No one wants to hear me talk about my high school days or doing a soliloquy or anything like that.
I got to tell you,
we're
impressed.
About ball, all ball. Let's go.
Let's go. Is there anyone in Jacksonville right now looking more forward to the new practice facility, outside of maybe Shot Con, the new practice facility being done than you, just having to move all these practice times around?
No. There's no one that's looking forward to it more than me. But you know, I think at the same time, I don't mind a little bit of that adversity, you know, that gets thrown at you, that little curveball. Mm-hmm. You know, here it comes. Hey, we threw him a curveball. You know, they're expecting to practice in the afternoon, and then all of a sudden, you know, the weather. Let's go ahead and do it. I think that I think that's the positive outlook on it. But you know, obviously, we'll be excited, for the indoor to be complete.
Ideally, obviously, you'd like to have everyone available through OTAs in the mini camp, but if you're going to have to deal with some of the nagging injuries, now's the time before you get into training camp and into the regular season. Still, how much does it affect different guys to miss time? For instance, Deshaun Gibson, who was here last year, how much does it bother him to miss this month versus maybe a guy like Barry Church, who is his first year in Jacksonville, and a guy like Dede Westbrook, who is a rookie, obviously, in the league?
Well, I think it's a point well taken, meaning that, you know, it's going to affect people differently, you know, depending on what their experience is. But the way I look at it is the overall thing is that they're missing, and you don't want that. So the two things that I talk about all the time is coachability and availability. You know, and as long as you're coachable and you're available, you can always, you know, you can get better, you can be out there, you can have a better understanding. It's very difficult to learn how to play this game and to learn your teammates, learn, you know, what's going on the field when you're not on the field. So for me, I don't look at it as like, oh, it's not going to hurt him that much. Oh, it's going to hurt everyone in a large way. But then all of a sudden, after you take that away, now it's a little bit different as far as experience goes.
With Brandon Albert being here, excuse me, frog in the throat. With Brandon Albert being here now for the mandatory portion of the offseason, the competition really between Albert and Cam Robinson can really get going for that left tackle spot. Do you anticipate whichever of those players doesn't win that left tackle spot starting somewhere else on this offensive line?
I don't know if I'm there yet. You know, I really don't know if I can look forward that far ahead to see that's the direction that we're going. I think that, you know, people, you know, talk about competition at that position. There's competition at every position, really. And I know people will say, well, come on, coach, you know, this guy. But no, I think you have to earn it. I think you got to go out there and compete. I think that's one of the things about being a head coach. I think that, you know, it's my responsibility to make sure that we put the best players on the field, not just who we think's going to play well, but actually does play well and practices well. So for me, it's competition. I don't know. The best five will be out there. So the answer to your question, if one of those two are the best five, yeah, we'll have to figure out how we'll do that. And we're going to have to figure it out, you know, quite quickly. You know, we don't want to wait now till all the way to the end of training camp.
Yeah, how much time do you think you need once you get into training camp where not only to make a decision on where guys are going to play, but how much time they may need at a position that they might not be playing right now?
I think the longest period of time that you can go, okay, is probably somewhere the day after that third preseason game. I think you got to be pretty much set. That's just a personal opinion. It's not based on anything except for just my experience. I think, you know, by that time you got to be ready to go, and that's the latest. So anything you can get done earlier, and you got the information where you feel comfortable to make a decision and go.
Jaguars head coach Doug Marrone joining us here in studio to the quarterback position. it's very rare that you're going to have a hot mic in front of you and not be asked about Blake. But have you seen a mechanically improved Blake Bortles through the OTAs and minicamp practice?
Mechanically improved, yes, I have. I think that there's a big difference. I think a lot goes to – I think Blake's worked hard, but, you know, obviously Scott Milanovic, the quarterback coach that we brought in here, former quarterback at the University of Maryland, former quarterback in the NFL – you know, the one thing that I talked to Scott about when we brought him in here was, hey, listen, I know that Coach Hackett's going to talk about the schematics and what we're going to do offensively and how we're going to attack defenses. Your job is to make sure not just Blake but all of our quarterbacks mechanically are sound, and we are working on fundamentals every day. So that's what we've been doing, so we feel very comfortable, you know, where we are now. The thing is we're going into this period now where, you know, it's like I call it off season two, where, you know, you got to stay on top of this. So because when you go and when those bullets start flying and they're live, what I mean is you can get sacked, you can get hit, you're in this preseason game, you know, that's when the mechanics, that's the true test to see if your mechanics are up to par, meaning that they're going to withstand that test at its full speed, knowing that you could potentially get hit.
Not necessarily numbers, but talking about Blake, what are your expectations for him this season?
Well, you say expectations the same expectations I have for all the players. I want to make sure that they can go out there and play winning football for us. And whatever it takes for us to win, that's what I expect them to do. No different than I'd ask the offensive guard or the wide receiver or the defensive back. You know, I think, you know, to put numbers on things, I'm not going to do that. If everyone does what their job and does what they're supposed to do, then we'll be okay.
Along the same kind of lines, Dante Fowler, obviously a guy going into his third year now. Everyone can see the athlete that he is. I mean, he's a freak of an athlete playing that position. Have you seen that kind of growth from him again that you wanted to see from him going from year two to year three?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. You know, nutritionally, in the weight room, there's a lot of things off the field, you know, meaning from that standpoint of just straight discipline. I think, you know, it's funny. I always look and I go back and, you know, as a kid growing up, you know, the Rucker League in Harlem, you know, I always saw great athletes. I mean, I was down there and I saw unbelievable basketball players. I said to myself, these guys can play in the NBA. These guys can play there. And then, you know, me and my friends and I, we'd always go in and say, well, why aren't they playing in the NBA? You know, why aren't they playing in college? You know, what? These guys are unbelievable. You know, so just being a great athlete is not going to put you in a position to be, you know, a winning type of football player. You need other things. And I think that's what I'm starting to see out of Dante now. We know he's a great athlete, but I'm starting to see the discipline. I'm starting to see, you know, the daily basis. I'm starting to see, you know, the hard work that he's putting in off the field. What people can't see is starting to carry over on the field. So I'm excited about the direction we're heading. With him, it's just a matter of consistency. Can we keep this up? Can we keep going in this direction? You know, obviously that's our goal. That's his goal. And if he can continue to do that, I think we'll get very good production out of him.
Jaguars head coach Doug Marrone joining us for another couple of minutes. Let's get away from team-specific stuff here, Doug, for a moment or two. What is...
I didn't know there was anything else.
But what is Doug Marrone's football philosophy as a head coach?
When you say football, win. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, the only reason why you're doing this is to get out there, compete, and win. I love competing. I love winning. You know, I think, you know, the one thing I cannot stand is I hate losing more than I like and love winning, you know, so I can't stand that. So I think for me, I want to make sure that we're tough, we're physical, we're smart, we can execute, we're in great shape. You know, those are the things that I take a lot of pride in of fielding a football team, you know, and then going out there and putting the best players out there, people that have earned it, and going out and seeing if the plans, all three plans that you put together during a week, you know, seeing, hey, who is right and who is wrong. You know, and let's go out there and play, and let's get after it. And let's not make any excuses, and let's go out there and win football games.
What lessons do you think you can take from your time as the head coach there at Buffalo? You went 9-7 in 2014 as the head coach up there, but what lessons do you think you can take from that time to help you now that you're in that position again here in Jacksonville?
Well, there's a lot. I think you learn every year, and even now, you know, with Coach Coughlin here, you know, there's quite a bit of learning for myself that, you know, I bounce things off him. So I think, you know, I think there's no substitute for hard work. I really think that as long as you're out there and you can get in your mind that you can, you know, you have to be able to say, okay, what are my opponents doing? Okay, what's my opponent's doing right now? And you've got to outwork them. You've got to find an edge about yourself where, and that's what I've been talking to this team about. I mean, these teams are above us. You know, we're looking from the bottom up. You know, so how do we go ahead and how do we make this change? You know, it's not going to be by just doing everything like everybody else is doing. We've got to do things differently. We've got to do them better. We've got to pay attention to the details. We got to do all the little things better. We go out on that field, and if we have 2.5 hours, it's got to be 2.5 hours of the best planned practice, the highest level of production. We've got to do it better than anyone's doing it right now. That's the only way we're going to be able to win, because if we keep doing it the same way, why is anything going to change? It's not. And that's not why we're here. We're here to make change, and we have to get the players to understand it. I think they're starting to respond to it, but we still have a long way to go.
I was about to say, along those lines, are you satisfied with the progress you've seen?
You know, I think for me, if I ever get up in front of the team and say, I'm satisfied, we're in trouble. So I always try to have you know, this chip on my shoulder or whatever you want to call it, this pushing, because, you know, I see this level that is so high for this football team that we're not, you know, that I have to keep going with them. So, you know, for me, hey, have we touched on some of the things? Absolutely. Do we know exactly, you know, how far we have to go? I don't know if we know that right now. I know I do. Personally, I know how hard we're going to have to push this team. So, again, but I think the players have been open to it. Today we just came off the field. We pushed them hard. We ran afterwards. We did a lot. And, you know, I think they understand we're going to continue to push and create this adversity and create this, you know, this willingness of ourselves to know that we've outworked people, and that's going to equate to wins.
Coach, you're talking directly to the fan base right now. So as we wrap things up with you, what is your message for the Jaguars fans out there listening right now?
Like I told them, I want the fans to understand that we're going to build this team based on what our fan base is. I'm in this community. I go out there, you know, just hardworking people that get up every day and go to work and do the best job they possibly can. You know, and that's got to be our football team. I mean, we got to put our hard hats on. We got to take our lunch pail. We've got to go to work. You know, we've got to outwork teams and just be tough and be physical and be resilient. I think those are the things that represent this community. I think that, you know, we have to represent that community on the football field, and we haven't done that. And the people in this community, they have a right to have a good football team. Our fans deserve that. And it's the challenge of our coaching staff and our players to be able to put forth that product on that field. Because I have a vision of our field. I have a vision of when we're going to take this field. And I understand it's not going to happen, you know, right away. We're going to have to earn the fans' respect by being on that field and winning football games at home and getting them back in here and getting everyone with Jaguar gear on and going out there and having a true home field advantage and kicking the crap out of somebody and then celebrating like rock stars afterwards. Those are the things that we're going to have to accomplish, and it takes a long time to get established. But we don't have time. We've got to do it now. So I'm excited. I'm fired up. Obviously, you can tell by the way I'm talking right
Absolutely,
now. We just
yeah.
got off that practice field, and I'm fired up to see how far we can take this team, and I'm fired up for our fans to put a team out there that they can be proud of.
Coach, I know you love talking football. Anytime you want to, that door is always open from 10 to noon. So if you get bored in your office, you just want to come talk football for 5 minutes.
All right, how could you get bored around here? We got so much work to do.
Or if you just want to come in and do, you know, a little Shakespeare.
What?
You just want an audience of two.
You got me fired up. I'm going back to work.
All right, there
I'm
it
going.
Goes.
I'm
hey,
going.
Coach Doug Marrone, right. Thank you so much for joining us. There he is, Doug Marrone, joining us on Jaguars Today yesterday, kind enough to spend a few minutes in studio with us. And, yeah, he was fired up there at the end. I think he was. He basically took a lap around the whole stadium, I think, after he left here, just to try to cool off a little bit to get ready for another couple days of minicamp practice. But obviously the poll quote for the fans out there, you know, come out here, kick the crap out of somebody.
Kicking the crap
party
out
like
of somebody
rock stars.
And then celebrating like rock stars afterwards.
There we go. And hopefully they can get that kind of thing back. Look, I feel you, Jacksonville. Look, I know. I know. I've seen you out here on game days. We've talked about the atmosphere around this football team and around this city when this team's going good, and it's been a long time since that has happened, and it's not your fault that it hasn't happened. It's been on the team not holding up its end of this bargain because you guys have been here through this whole thing. Hopefully 2017 is a different story when it comes to all that. Obviously some big questions. We'll continue to talk about the questions about this team and the ones that are going to be the big ones that have to be answered for them to be successful in 2017, including Blake Bortles and where that pass rush is going to come from on that defensive line. I get it. All that's still out there. But, yeah, I know you guys are ready to get a winner here in Jacksonville. We'll see if 2017 delivers that. We'll let you hear a little bit more from Doug Marrone talking after practice yesterday, as well as from Brandon Albert throughout the rest of the show. Again, Malik Jackson going to join me in studio here in a little bit less than an hour as the Jaguars come off the practice field. They'll be done in about 45 minutes. I'm expecting that he'll be in with me around then, coming straight off the practice field a little bit later on in the show. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today. For all size plumbing jobs, residential, commercial, industrial, septic systems, restaurant grease trap service, and much more. You get same-day service. That includes the weekends on Saturday and Sunday. The right people, the right equipment. They've been serving Jacksonville since 1978. Just go to MetroRooter.com or give them a call, 904-695-1911, 904-695-1911. We'll continue along. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday edition of Jaguars Today here on 1010XL.
And now, a dose of Daly's Place. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
In case you didn't know, as we say hello to David Altman, it is a dose of Daly's Place. We're set to, I know you've already announced it, but on the airwaves at least. Santana's coming. October, right? October 24th?
Yep, October 24th.
Okay.
So it's going to be a big week. We've got him 24th. We've got a show 25th. I got to remember at the top of my head. And then that leads into Florida-Georgia weekend. So a lot going on in Jacksonville Sports Complex that weekend.
What is the plan? Is there something loose in place for, you know, because it's already a madhouse down here enough for Florida-Georgia weekend with that whole week with everyone tailgating, RV City set up. Is there anything going to be in place as far as trying to use this facility during those couple of days?
You know, I'm not sure if there is or not. They've done some things in the past where Florida-Georgia has put on a concert, so maybe they use Daly's Place for that weekend. But, you know, with the shows being here that weekend, maybe everybody in RV City is going to buy some tickets and just extend the party.
Yeah, they're down here anyway.
Exactly.
They could walk. They don't even have to worry about parking, you know, for that particular couple of days, so...
What a way to kick it off, the classic guitar.
Yeah. We've had five shows already down here. How have they gone so far?
You know, I couldn't have dreamt of a better five-show run to start everything off. We've had some great feedback. Obviously, within a new venue, you've got some small tweaks you've got to make with just some food and beverage, some sounds, some egress, some parking. Everything needs a little bit because, you know, we've never done it down here before. We do it on a scale of 60,000+ nine times a year, but there's some nuances when you're doing, you know, 5,500 people that you don't think about. We've got those set, and we got a little week break right now, and then we move into Deftones, our first heavy show on the 24th, and then Diana Ross on the 28th.
Yeah, and I know for fans who have been out here already and maybe, you know, I haven't heard anybody that had a bad experience coming out to Daly's Place, but if they do have those little things that they feel like do need to be tweaked, who can they get in touch with?
You know, they can call our ticket sales line at 633-2000. You can tweet at us. You can hop on Instagram, make comments. We're Facebook. We're monitoring everything really all day, and we're responding to comments, whether we're responding to you on that social media platform, whether one of our management team is calling you. We're making sure that we want all the feedback we can get, because we can't make the changes to make the experience that much better without the suggestions.
Yeah, this past weekend, a couple shows.
Tears for Fears.
It was kind of, as you put it here in my notes, it was a differing decades between the 2 days where you had Tears for Fears, and then Third Eye Blind was in this weekend as well.
It was definitely two completely different shows. We went through a lot of Chardonnay on Saturday night, and then to hear Third Eye play their first album from start to finish on Sunday night to finish out
That's
their show
pretty
was
cool.
Was a pretty cool treat for a lot of people that grew up with them. So it was definitely a lot of fun. Those back to back shows are always interesting. You see some of the same people get some different feedback each night, and then, you know, for guys like me and a lot of our team, they're here for both nights. It's fun to see everybody in Jacksonville having such a great time. in such a different venue and what will become an iconic music venue across the nation.
Now, are you out here for all the shows?
So far, I've been out for all the shows. I'll miss a few for vacation, but for the most part, I'll be here at every one of them.
I know we have 29 announced shows for 2017 already. Five of them are down, so 24 more. I'm sure there's more coming.
You know, we've still got a good chunk of shows left to announce. I mean, we're still going to announce the Jaguar Season Concert Series, which will have a show each Saturday before a home game. We've still got some shows in the works for some different days during the year. So, I mean, we're just getting started.
As you mentioned, not this weekend, but next weekend, Rise Against Deftones coming in on Saturday, June 24th, Diana Ross. The following Wednesday, June 28th. So those are the next two shows coming up. For people want to get their hands on tickets, how can they do that?
Ticketmaster.com, dailiesplace.com, or if you know those great premium options I always talk about, we're just rolling out some new ones because we did sell out of our premium inventory. So give us a call, 904-633-2000. Talk to one of our sales executives, and they will they'll get you taken care of.
For the one or two people out there who maybe haven't been to a show yet out here at Daly's Place and are planning on coming out to one of those next couple of shows, information on parking, any of that kind of stuff, where can they
Everything's on dailiesplace.com. One of the great things, and we've talked about it numerous times, is that we include parking your ticket price. So you come in, you're not shelling out $25-$30 for a parking pass to come in. We got y'all taken care of. You're just going to flash your ticket and come right on in into Lot J.
And the Flex Field, I see they're working their tails off to get that thing done. Mid-July, we're still going to have it ready?
Mid-July, still ready.
All right. Sounds good. David Altman, thank you so much for joining me in studio. We'll get you again next week, man. And
sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Set it up for the Deftones coming up that next weekend. A dose of Daly's Place here on Jaguars Today. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today. We'll get into this date in football history as well as the Honda drive around the NFL here in just a couple of minutes. You just heard the conversation I had yesterday with head coach Doug Marrone. Malik Jackson expected to join us a little bit later on the show, as well as the Jaguars set to get off the practice field in about 20 minutes. Blake Bortles, your quarterback, going to speak to the media after practice. But Malik Jackson expected to come in studio with me as soon as they come off the practice field today. John Osher will join me a little bit later on as well. We'll get some of his reaction to whatever Blake had to say, as well as to what Brandon Albert had to say as he left practice yesterday. We'll let you hear from Brandon Albert, as well as get into this date in football history and the Honda driver and the NFL as we return on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, not a whole lot of newsy stuff on this date, but we got a bunch of birthdays. Happy 40th birthday to former NFL corner Chris McAllister. McAllister's name came up during this date yesterday as I was going through all the names on that 2000 Ravens defense that won that Super Bowl. McAllister played 10 of his 11 seasons with the Ravens, won that Super Bowl ring, as well as being voted to 3 Pro Bowls, 1 All-Pro team during his time there. Happy 78th birthday to one-time Sports Illustrated cover boy Tom Matt, also known as the Garbage Can. Matt played for the Baltimore Colts from 1961 to 1972, appearing on the SI cover in January of 1969 while scoring his third touchdown in the NFL championship game against the Cleveland Browns. Matt worked as a broadcaster with the Ravens during the 90s. Happy 53rd birthday to former Florida State Seminole and I believe current NFL Network broadcaster Jamie Dukes. I'm pretty sure he's still with the NFL. I know a bunch of you guys out there watch the NFL Network religiously. I don't. But I know you watch it every day, so if he isn't with them anymore, just let me know. I couldn't find anything that said he wasn't. Buffalo Bills 2014 first-round draft pick Sammy Watkins celebrating his 24th birthday today. Watkins caught just 28 passes for 430 yards in 8 games last season. The Bills have declined the fifth-year option on Watkins, who could be a free agent after the upcoming 2017 season. And finally, happy 48th birthday to a member of the Jaguars 1995 team, the inaugural Jaguars team, Eugene Chung. Chung is currently working as an assistant offensive line, tight ends, run game coach with the Philadelphia Eagles. He was drafted in the first round of the 1992 NFL draft by the New England Patriots, I believe 13th overall, which made him the first Asian-American drafted in the first round at that time since Roman Gabriel in 1962. It had been 30 years since another Asian-American player had been drafted in the first round before Chung changed that streak,
Tony,
in 1992.
It's also Laquan Treadwell's birthday. Happy 22nd to him. Only one catch last season. Does he do anything for the rest of his career? What do you expect from Laquan Treadwell?
The expectations dropped severely after not even being able to. They basically didn't play him last year. It wasn't just that he wasn't effective. It's that he couldn't earn any playing time with Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs up there in Minnesota, which aren't exactly guys that are first-round picks that you would think would push that kind of draft collateral off the field, but they did, at least for one season. We'll see if Laquon Treadwell can turn it around. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
According to Joe Person of the Charlotte Observer, Panthers tight end Greg Olsen wants a new contract that will pay him similar range as the rest of the top tight ends in the NFL. Olsen has been very productive over the last few years, three straight 1,000-yard seasons and three straight Pro Bowl appearances for Greg Olsen. He's also currently the seventh highest-paid tight end in the league. His extension from 2015 averages $7.5 million a season. Jimmy Graham, Travis Kelce, Jordan Reed, Rob Gronkowski, Zach Ertz, and Charles Clay, those are the six tight ends that are making more than Greg Olsen currently under their salary for next season. Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham made his return to team-sanctioned activities yesterday, and Beckham told reporters that he was not holding out during the team's voluntary minicamp or sending a message about his contract status. Beckham said, quote, "I was just taking the time to train, really just grow and mature, and you just have to have time to be able to reflect on life and learn new things." Beckham was asked about a potential new deal, which, by the way, Beckham is still under contract for this season and next year's fifth-year option. Odell said, "I leave that in the hands of the man above when that time comes, and when that time comes, right now is really not the time to discuss it. When it comes, it will come." So, obviously, Odell's, if he did have any sort of intentions of letting his, what he wants to get with his contract, I'm sure he told the team without telling the media, because when he tells the media, it's just, "I got to get back to work, and when the time comes, we'll discuss it then." But Odell not really talking about his contract at all.
No, he's not. And look, everyone knows why he wasn't there for the voluntary portion. The reports came out. It's not like they're coming out of nowhere. Even in New York, they came from somewhere, likely from somebody in Odell Beckham Jr.'s
his agent,
camp.
Of course.
Yeah, look, they're not going to – he's not going to play under the fifth-year option. All right, they're going to get something done with Odell Beckham Jr. It may not be in the next couple of weeks. But by the time this season is done, I'd be stunned if the New York Giants haven't worked out a long-term deal with Odell Beckham Jr.
One more story. A day after the Eagles left tackle Jason Peters expressed that he wanted to rework his contract, the team announced they did just that just one day later, a one-year extension for Peters with the Eagles through 2019. He released a quote basically saying he's going to retire in Philadelphia, saying, quote, "It means a lot. This is reassurance that I'm going to retire here and don't have to go year-to-year status. It's just another way of them reassuring that I'm going to be here." The 35-year-old Peters has been a three-time first-team All-Pro guy in Philly.
Peters is a good football player and remains a good football player, so not surprised they try to get that deal done and keep him there. It's rare that a guy wears one uniform for his entire career anymore in really any sport, but the NFL, with how turbulent it is when these guys can get that first big payday, and with the salary cap continuing to go up and up and up, and there are teams like, heck, let's face it, Jacksonville, who have a lot of money to spend, and that often means that guys aren't going to spend their entire career in one spot, but it's kind of cool that we could be watching a really good player wind up doing that up there in Philadelphia. Anything else, Tyler?
That's it.
All right. That is this state in football history, as well as the Honda Drive around the NFL. The Jaguars still out on the practice field. They should be wrapping up practice here in the next couple of minutes. Again, John Osher going to join me here in about 35 minutes. Malik Jackson should be joining me coming off the practice field here in the next 10 to 15 minutes as well. Before we get to any of that, though, we let you hear my conversation with head coach Doug Marrone yesterday, talking about a lot of different issues with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But while we were doing that out there following practice, Brandon Albert and Doug Marrone had already spoken to the media. We want to give you the opportunity to hear some of what they had to say. Brandon Albert, especially with him obviously having skipped the voluntary portion of the offseason, but being back in for this portion of it as the mandatory portion starts, is Malik Jackson walking in the studio right now. I'm ready for you, Malik. Come on in and have a seat, man. He gets two shakes. Malik Jackson's such a big man, he gets two shakes after practice every day. I got you down there in the end, brother. Yeah. Jaguars defensive tackle Malik Jackson joining me in studio here. He's trying to cover up the seat so he doesn't get it too awful sweaty.
Yeah, I'm a little sweaty right now. I've been outside all day.
Are you ready to get through tomorrow so that you can just get to whatever vacation plans you have, man?
The Yeah, yes and no. You know, I'm excited to be able to go home, see my daughter, relax, take a seat. But you know, I just love football and being here with these guys that you know, I'll definitely miss them. But it's one of those things. We have a great thing going right now, and I kind of don't want to end it. But you know, that's what the rules permit us to be able to go home. So that's what I'm gonna do. But make sure I stay on the things we've been doing out here.
You say you got a great thing going. What do you have going?
Just finding my groove, you know, being able to work with Coach Hobby and Rebs, the two D-line coaches, and really get after it, you know, make myself better. And we got Calais out here now, so being able to see him and Mike Bennett and Sheldon, they are doing great things right now. So being able to be around these guys, you know, my competition, we're definitely making each other better, and it's a healthy competition.
When you left here in January following last season, I'm sure you set for yourself whatever personal goals you wanted to have, you know, for things that you wanted to improve on throughout the course of the offseason. Have you made the strides you would like to see in that regard, and what did you want to work on?
One of my things was just my weight and conditioning. You know, I left here at about 290. I was able to come back about 280 and build myself back up to 290. You know, 17% body fat. That dropped from like 20 when I first got here through. So now, you know, and then just going out there and being the same guy as far as who I know I can be, you know, because when new coaches, you want to go out there and show them new things and show them, hey, I'm this guy you think about and that you see, you know. But it's getting back in the groove, you know. When you come back off the offseason from playing football, you're done for like 3-4 months. So, you know, I just have to learn how to calm down. But everything's been working out real well for me. So just trying to just stay healthy and continue to grind.
Malik Jackson, defensive tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars, joining us here in studio. For you, looking around you right now on this defensive line, you said you guys got a good thing going right now. Who's standing out for you among your teammates?
Well, all the starters, you know, I think Jan, who are the starters?
Avery Jones.
Jan, Avery, Calais. Really everybody, yeah. You know, down to the rookies. I mean, Mike Bennett has made a huge jump. Sheldon Day has made a huge jump. The rookies are showing up right now. So truly everybody, I think everybody understands what's going on around here, that this is a job right now. And that we, you know, we kind of have a fresh start to prove who we are, and I think everybody's taking full advantage of that.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Unique first, and that's a guy that whenever we ask any of your defensive line teammates about what's going on with that D-line, his name is among the first mentioned. What is it about Unique that is drawing you guys, his teammates' attention?
Just the way he works. You know, he comes in every day, works hard, same guy every day, and I think that's what you hope for in a player and a coach, the guy to be the same way every day. You know, he comes in pissed off, ready to work. You know, he's communicating. He's seeing things better. And then I think it's between, like what I have with Mike Bennett and Sheldon Day, he has that with Dante Fowler. You know, they both have a healthy friendship and a healthy competition where one, you know, it's a I can do things better than you kind of mentality around this room. And I think that's the best mentality to have.
What are you seeing from Dante as he is making, you know, it's year two to year three. That's mm-hmm. usually where a big jump comes. Mm-hmm. Obviously he missed the whole rookie season with mm-hmm. the ACL, but what are you seeing from Dante?
Dante just look and really see things and be who he know he is, you know, be the natural back in college Dante, where he's getting off the ball, turning the edge, just being fast and using his athleticism. I think last year, you know, being his first year in the league, you know, he was seeing a lot and not reacting too fast. But this year, he's just let everything go. He's come back. He's doing everything the coaches say, from what I see and what I hear. And I think he's just taking the next step and being a pro and understanding that, you know, your first contract, what, 5 years, first round? Possible five? So he's
possible
understanding
five,
that
yeah.
This is his third year. Now he needs to start, you know, making some changes. So he's been, I think, a model teammate and going out there sacking people and setting the edge.
Telvin Smith stepped mm-hmm. to the podium a couple weeks ago, expressed some frustration. Basically, he said, you know, the defense is building the foundation for what it's going to be in the season right now mm-hmm. and wasn't seeing the progress that he would like to see. As another of the defensive leaders on this team, do you agree with that sentiment, and have you seen the effort get picked up in the last couple of weeks?
I've definitely seen the effort get picked up, especially because it's minicamp. You know, it's kind of guys have taken that, okay, next step, jump. You know, when Telvin said that, I think that came from a place of it being not what we want to be, because right now, you know, we're not where we want to be. It's still, well, it was June when he said that, I think, or early May. What is this?
End of May,
this
yeah.
Is May?
This June. Is June. It is June.
You know, whatever. he said that when he said it, but I think it came from a place of not executing and not being where we're supposed to be. But I think now that since he said that, we've taken a lot of leaps and jumps to where we want to be. We're not where we want to be yet, but I think everybody's bought in a little bit more. Everybody understands the defense a little bit more. And Telvin and everybody is being held accountable, so it's making us a lot better.
Obviously not surprising that Telvin, with his personality, would be one of the guys that's willing to – he said it to you guys on the field, pulling you all together, and then willing to say it, you know, to us as well. It's no surprise to you that Telvin's that type of guy.
No way. I mean, if you're going to say it to the media, you have to say it to us. And I think he says it to us, and we all understand he's right. You know, you can't be mad at somebody that wants perfection and that wants to be the best. And that's what we all should want. So, you know, if he doesn't see it one day, we respect him and his views. If I don't see it one day, you respect me and my views, and let's just all get better till we all are on one accord of what perfection is.
You were the new big money free agent face on that defensive line last season. This year, obviously, that's Calais.
Yeah, they got a bigger money guy. So that's good.
Him coming in. But what did you know about Calais before he got here?
He was just a beast. Potential first ballot Hall of Famer. Just pretty much from what you guys see. You know, just the beast on the field, the guy who goes out there and makes disruption and goes out there and sacks people and has a fun time doing it. And now that I've got to know him, he's the same guy. He's very cerebral, funny, just likes to chill, you know, big kid. But when he's out there working, he's out there working. I think that's the only thing I picked up. You know, you just always, every down, you know, just consistently, this is the last play. And I'm definitely picking that mentality up and really, like, working to use rushes for rushes and, you know, just playing chess and not checkers pretty much.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, you have this idea, Calais Campbell, before he gets here. You may have had conversations or whatever with him before he wound up signing here. But has the expectation for what you thought he would be equaled the reality of what he's been since he got here?
Oh, yeah, he's a beast. If I can curse on here, I'd curse. He's a beast, man. He's definitely sacking people, you know, just he looks flawless and effortless. And I think that's where I want to take my game to, is where I can go out there and do things and just look like I'm just floating and gliding and, you know, twinkles are going all around me, you know, when I'm doing stuff. So he just makes it just look effortless. And that's definitely the goal, you know, where you get all pro status and Pro Bowl status to go out there and just do your thing and play your game.
What was missing from his 2016 defense? And do you feel like you found it in the offseason here in 2017?
Man, what was missing? You'd have to go ask front office. I thought we had everything. We finished number six on defense. You know, I think that what was missing is just the finish, I think. And that's really was. We had, like, Indianapolis game in Indy. We had them beat, and they drove down the field on us in the last series. You know, there's plenty of games like that where we have them, but we can't finish. I think Green Bay was another one where they drove on us, or the Ravens was one when they drove on us too. So,
yeah.
So one of the things, I think, just finishing and being able to be as fresh or as possibly fresh in the fourth quarter as you are in the first quarter. And I think Coach Marone and Coach Milo has done a great job with the conditioning and making us go out there and run and do extra running. And I think it'll pay off in the season.
You know, that's kind of the next logical question there is, what can you do in May and June that is going to put you in a better position to be able to finish those games in September and October?
Just get conditioning and understand what the situations are. I think we're going to be a lot smarter situational football. Like today, we did a 2-minute with a situation on the clock. So it's one of those things that understand the situation and just understanding who you are and getting your cardio down. I mean, here they make a big deal about weight, fat, and muscle. So, you know, I think guys are truly understanding their body. It makes you understand your body and who you are and what's good for you and what's not. And, I think guys are just really just finally turning it on to be just purely a pro. And take everything seriously, from nutrition, from the way your locker looks to everything, taking notes to going on the field.
Yeah, obviously it's a lot of young guys. We've talked about a bunch of them here. Another one of those is Miles Jack going into his second year now. He's going to be the middle linebacker for this team. What have you seen from Miles through this month of OTAs and now into the minicamp?
I think Miles over there killing it. For me, I always think middle linebackers have a lot to do. So, you know, from calling the play to running around everywhere to coming back and calling the play to running around everywhere. But in my eyes, he's doing great. You know, I think with any young player, you know, you're going to have a few issues, you know, maybe with plays and just overloading plays on him. But I think he's understanding everything well. And from what I see, he's fitting holes right. And he's managing our defense well. So he's the leader of this defense right now. And as far as backer goes, and that's who we follow.
Does it feel different without Puzz in the middle?
Nah, because Puzz is still out there. You know what I'm saying? I think when you see Puzz be as respectful and as, like, just so just even kill about the situation, you know, I have no place to get upset with it, because, you know, we all understand that this is a business, and we understand what this is. So I'm just glad Puzz is still out here with us, still grinding with us, still bringing that professional presence, and we still have him on this team. But, no, Jack's next. Jack's the guy. And it's like Puzz never left, which he never did.
Is it difficult when we're talking about, you know, the comments of Telvin and, you know, trying to build that kind of base foundation for what you guys are going to be? you know, going into training camp and then obviously preseason and the regular season. But when you're trying to build that base, is it more frustrating when guys aren't available? And it's not their own fault. I mean, it's not like Gibson and Church and those guys don't want to be out there. But when they're not able to be out there and start building that chemistry as a group, is it frustrating for you guys?
As a player, no, because you understand the things that they go through. You know, if you're not healthy, you just have to get healthy. You know, it sucks, but this is just May and June. You know, we play in August, September through February. And as I'm getting on the league, you know, I've seen guys not play till damn near third preseason game and go out there and ball. So to me, as long as they're getting right and getting healthy and doing what they have to do, not just standing around, you know, that's fine with me. You know, I know they can only control what you can control. But I think it also makes our second and thirds better because it builds depth. You know, those guys are getting a lot of reps. You know, J.J. is out there balling right now the corner. You got everybody's back there just learning and getting reps and against the one, our offense, which is ones, which we have ballers on. So I think it's just building depth. And, you know, when those guys come back, they're going to be number one and we're going to get it together.
I know you've never been a guy that shied away from setting a bar for yourself, right? Like you wanted to be a double-digit sack guy last year. You talked openly about wanting to be that. What, not only for yourself, but what is your expectation for the 2017 Jaguars defense?
As a team, I expect to have a winning record. I expect to be winning at least two out of each four games. So if there's four games in each quarter, which makes for 16, I expect for each quarter we win at least two games. Just be a dominant top 10, top 15 team in, on offense and defense. So that's why expectations are very high for me. I've been on teams where, you know, you're really good, and I've been on teams that are really bad, but I think that we've have the making for this team to be really good. And I think that we can definitely take it as far as we want to take it. And I think Coach Marone's not letting us lose sight of that. So it's good when you have somebody like that on your back, you know. But I have the bar set very high for me.
There was a lot of expectation at this point last year for this Jaguars team. When you compare maybe where you felt like this team was going at this point last year to this year, is it different? Is your expectation higher this year than maybe even it was last season?
I know, because I think when I came in here, I had the same expectations. You know, just reality just hit us in the face last year that, you know, we didn't really win too many games. But this year, as soon as the Super Bowl was over last year, that was it for last year. Now this year, we're looking forward. We take the rearview mirrors off the car and just drive forward. You know, we don't really care about the past. We learn from our mistakes and we keep moving. And I think from the front office to the players' locker room, we've made a lot of great changes, and these changes are going to pan out very well for us.
Are you happy that this is among the last times you have to talk to somebody like me for like a month?
No, man, I'm going to miss you guys. Even you, I'm going to miss coming in from these hot days, sweating, and then having to come straight sit down and talk to you. I'll miss that.
I think you're lying, Billy. I think you'll be enjoying whatever you're doing. I know one more day of minicamp, and then tomorrow night before you get on to doing whatever else you're going to do, a cool event coming up, a Night of Giving. Give people a little bit of insight what's going on.
Pretty much a Night of Giving. I have three palms at Sawgrass from 6 to 10. And pretty much we're just getting together. I'm trying to get people in the community to come out and help me build the community up as far as just like donating. You know, I mean, I'm trying to help animals, military families, and at-risk youth. So if you feel a type of way about any of those three things, you know, please come out. It's at 3 Sawgrass at 3 Palms. You know, we're just trying to build money for the community, help people, you know, because I know from my outlook, it's a blessing to be a blessing, you know, and that's all I want to do is be able to give back as much as the Jags have given me back to the community. So, yeah, just coming out, having a great time. I know the band Be Easy will be there. You know, a lot of people hopefully come mingle, you know, network, and let's have some fun and raise some money.
So it's open to fans, public, anybody who wants to come.
Anybody
who
wants
out?
To come, you know, tickets are $100. But if you want to come and hang out, please come and join us. We'd love to have you. Just conversate. I have a few of my teammates there. Try to get some coaches there, you know, and just have a good time.
That's at Three Palms Grill tomorrow night from 6 to 10. Again, Malik Jackson will be there along with some teammates. So if you want to come and support a good cause, how's that little girl doing, man?
She's awesome, man, from walking to running. You know, it's awesome, man.
She's running, you're chasing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now I know. It's just, I'll tell people, I know, you know, when you're that parent, like you don't have any kids and you're sitting there, the kids banging on the table and the parents just sit there at ease. I'm that parent now where my daughter's just banging and no knives or forks or nothing, but you know, you try to set the iPad up, she's not paying attention, she's just banging. I'm just sitting there, no worries, just eating my steak. You know, I just came out here, have a good dinner, but nah, she's awesome, man. It's definitely, cool to be a dad, and I can't wait to go back.
All right, Malik Jackson, kind enough to join us here after practice. He's been sweating trying to get down both those smoothies throughout this whole thing.
Trying.
Appreciate you coming in.
Thank
for
you,
a few minutes,
man.
We'll see you in July as one more day of mini camp as we roll along. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today. Malik Jackson walking in the studio right now. You say you got a great thing going. What do you have going?
Just finding my groove, you know, being able to work with Coach Hobby and Rebs, the two D-line coaches, and really get after it, you know, make myself better. And we got Calais out here now, so being able to see him and Mike Bennett and Sheldon, they are doing great things right now. So being able to be around these guys, you know, my competition, we're definitely making each other better, and it's a healthy competition.
Malik Jackson joining me just a few moments ago here on Jaguars Today, and I hope they got a good thing going. I would love for them to get a good thing going. A lot of interesting stuff there from Malik. Obviously talked about his expectations for this football team as well. And look, I can remember talking to Malik at this point last season as well. And it's not like he's never shied away from putting a number on it, right? Like, he is the guy who said, look, I want to go get 10 sacks. That was the idea for him last year. And when you would ask him about what he wants the team to be, what do you expect the team to be, he was never a guy who shied away from saying, look, I think that we can win the AFC South. Like, he's never been afraid to put that kind of stuff on it. So when he says, you know, I expect this team, if you break it up into quarters, which a lot of people do, and that's within NFL circles as well, they'll break it up into quarters when they look at the schedule, so four games each. When you look at it that way, he says, I expect to go 2-2, minimum, each of those quarters. So the math's not difficult at 2-2 in each of those quarters. That would be 8-8, would be the expectation that Malik Jackson has. And honestly, that feels low to me, coming from a guy like Malik Jackson. But I know some fans are already reacting to that. We'll have some comments, obviously, from Malik Jackson a little bit later on in the show as well. But Malik Jackson, kind enough to join us. And look, he has picked it up when it comes to that radio game. He's a good interview. He's a guy that took that mantle when he was brought in as kind of the free agent guy last year. He's taken it and run with it. And now he's got another one of those guys next to him. And I'm curious to see on this Jaguars defensive line, as you now have Malik Jackson, who was disruptive in the middle of that line. He was able to be a disruptive force. He's a guy that, you know, three or four times a game, you'd watch the middle of that opposing offensive line just get torn up from the middle, and that was Malik Jackson doing what he does. Again, my big questions about where's the pass rush going to come from on this Jaguars team, I preface that without also saying, I don't think we know yet what it looks like for the Jaguars to have a guy standing next to Malik Jackson on first and second down that not only gives you somebody that can stuff the run but can get after the passer, which is what Calais Campbell can do and has done throughout his career. We haven't seen what this defense looks like when you have two guys on that side of the ball that can go do that, plus whatever Unique is going to give you at that rush end spot, and hopefully something from Dante Fowler. Again, he's such an athletic guy. There's a reason he goes number three overall in the draft, but it's not like if Dante Fowler Jr. doesn't work out in a Jaguars uniform, it's not like he would be the first guy selected number three overall, even playing that position, that it wouldn't have worked out for. And he wouldn't be the first time that a guy that was that kind of athletically gifted didn't figure it out in the NFL. It's not like it would be the first time that story has been written. It would just be the next time that story had been written. I'm not saying that I want it to work out that way. I'm saying that it's hard to project what exactly Dante Fowler Jr. is going to be at this point. And when we ask guys, like I just did with Malik Jackson, who's standing out to you among your teammates, all of them say Yannick Ngakoue. Like, it's all of them talk about Yannick, and not a whole lot of people are talking about Dante until, because we're all interested in what's going on with Dante Fowler, we ask about Dante. And we get a similar answer. Look, he's a really athletic guy who's trying to figure it out. Like, that's the answer we're getting, which is exactly what you think Dante Fowler Jr. is. He's a really athletic guy who's trying to figure this thing out. So we'll see if he does. One more day of minicamp. Blake Bortles speaking after practice today as well. We'll get you some reaction to some of the things that he had to say coming up as well. Do want to go back to yesterday really quick and we haven't had an opportunity to play back any of this yet. The fan feedback question of the day today asking you regarding Brandon Albert, who reported for the mandatory portion of the offseason yesterday. So no holdout officially from Brandon Albert, just skipping the voluntary workouts. But Brandon Albert was at practice for the first time yesterday, spoke after practice, and we're going to get you some of his comments here in just a moment. The question of the day today asking you, for the fans out there, and there was a portion of the fan base that was upset with Brandon Albert for going about it the way that he did, for the last couple of months, asking for a new contract, not showing up for the OTAs. For that group of the fan base that was upset with Brandon Albert, is it water under the bridge, essentially, now? Is all forgiven with Brandon Albert, and it's time just to move on? Brandon Albert, speaking after the minicamp practice yesterday, talked about it not being a perfect first day for him.
You never going to be perfect first day. I think I jumped off sides twice, made a couple mistakes, but you know, I'm not worried about it. It's the end of June. It's not game time yet. So I'm just happy to be out here with the guys, with the team, and just working, man. I just feel blessed to be here. I'm just happy to be back playing football.
We'll say hello to John Osier here in just a moment. But one more comment here from Brandon Albert. Was asked about the business side of this thing and what was going on in his decision to not show up for the voluntary portion.
You know, my advisors and everything, when we were trying to get the situation straight, something that it was business-wise, it wasn't personal on both sides. And, you know, now it's over with. You know, now I get back to work, being the best football player I could be, and move forward to help the Jacksonville Jaguars organization team move on.
There he is, Brandon Albert, speaking after practice yesterday as we welcome in Jaguars.com senior writer Johnny Osier. What's going on?
It's me. Oh, I'm here. I'm here. Just listening to Blake. And, yeah, I did a good job in his final press conference, set the tone, and yeah, now it's on to the offseason for him.
It is.
He's got one more, but in terms of media, in terms of our theme, our storyline, the next time we'll talk to Blake is sometime when we're all sweating in August. July.
I mean, Blake's, for whatever flaws there are in the game of Blake Bortles,
sure,
that's never been an issue.
Yeah, but today was interesting. And, you know, it at the end, he was asked several times, he's going to Los Angeles or Southern California for a month, which he didn't do last year. And he was sort of asked if, you know, the doing the month between mini camp and training camp was a maturity thing, if it was just an example of focus. And Blake's really not into sort of standing up there going, yes, I'm more mature than I was. And he said, well, yeah, maybe a little. But just overall, you get the idea that, you know, hey, he understands this is the time where he has to perform. It's the time where the team has to perform. I'm putting words in his mouth, but my impressions from what he was saying was, you know, for 3 years, there has been talk that they're going to be better. Talk that, hey, we're building towards something. Talk of what it could be, what it might be, what the offseason is. And you really got the idea from Blake that he, you know, to his core gets that, you know, look, talk whatever, I got to do something to get this right. And does 4 weeks in California guarantee him getting it right? Of course not. But the effort, the idea that he must do it, the want to, the focus, all the things that he can control right now, he seems to be more than just talk at a podium. He's going to go do it. He's, you know, you're sitting there watching this guy. Clearly, he's in better shape than he ever has. Everybody's talked about his weight loss. He looks more physically fit. You get the idea. He's doing whatever it's going to take. Now, I don't know if he can do it or not, but it's not a bad sign that he's at least showing the full in commitment and, I guess, putting his money where his mouth is, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, when you look at, I mean, just look at Jaguars history. And a guy like Byron Leftwich was a, yeah, I got this. Like, I'm not worried. I got this guy. Like, that was kind of his attitude with it. I've always thought with Blake, and it's why when some of the stories came out with the way that they handled the offseason last year, it stunned me a little bit.
Yeah.
My question with Blake was never, is he putting in the work? Like, I never thought that would be an issue with Blake Bortles when they drafted him.
Right.
And you were starting to get to know him when he was around the building a little bit and going through that rookie year. It was, he's going to put in whatever work is required of him and more. It's a question of whether it's in him to be a successful NFL quarterback.
And I can't speak to last. You know, I know. I mean, Olsen was all for them staying here and working together, and evidently not all that into the quarterback guru thing. I don't know how much was that. How much was, hey, we did okay last year. I thought Blake looked fine during, you know, if I had been Blake after OTAs last year, young guy, I don't know that I would have been sitting there going, boy, I got to get to California, because I thought Blake looked okay in OTAs. Not great, but I didn't look at Blake last year after OTAs and think, boy, this kid is a mechanics tragedy waiting to happen. I mean, it wasn't there, and even during preseason, I didn't see that. So whatever happened last year happened last year, but there's no question that there is more with Blake of it. He's always very good in this environment of being willing to sort of take every question that comes his way and say, yeah, I've got to do this. My mechanics aren't this. But there is this year, when you talk to him, he seems more mature, seems to get it. Sometimes there can be a dimness about a guy. Not him, but when you talk to a player and everybody else is saying something about a player, but when you talk to the player, he's like, oh, I can't listen to all that. I'm doing this. Blake will hear it. He gets that there has to be improvement made. He's not shy about it. So can he go do it? I don't know. I mean, I'm on record. I've said I'm not sure he's going to be a franchise quarterback. I hope for his sake. I like the kid. I hope he is.
I don't know how you could be right now.
Right. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that he certainly doesn't seem he certainly seems to get what it's going to take. Whether doing what it takes gets his end result, I don't know, but I think he's going to do what it takes.
Yeah, I agree with you, and as you said,
which is all you can ask right now.
Blake's been really good with that kind of stuff. He's always handled the media very well.
Sure.
That's nothing new for Blake.
It's not.
And he gets it too. He said it when he was out there today. He knows he's always said what he needs to say.
Right.
It's when the
only thing I thought was different
flying,
today,
he's got to get it done.
Right. The only thing I thought was different today was there was just a little more of a, look, it's got to be now. And before, there was always, I hadn't quite heard that urgency. And that's a subtle difference. And again, I know there's fans listening going, well, John, I don't care about that. I just care about what's on the field. Obviously, I've been saying all off season, all that matters is what starts happening in week one. Because we've seen him be good in training camp. We've seen him light it up in the scrimmages rookie year. We've seen all good things. It's in the third quarter when it's 3rd and 7 and they're down by 4. Does he start playing well enough that you think it's going to be the fourth quarter you're going to be leading? Can he get it done in those moments? So far in his career, not enough. Can he do it now? Does this all mean that's going to happen? I don't know. But I like so far what I've heard. Will we like what we see? Who knows?
Yeah, and I think the other side of that, with there being more of a feeling of urgency, is why wasn't there? You know,
yeah, I mean,
I get that his contract wasn't on the line, you know, going into last season. There's a lot more on the plate for Blake.
I don't want to say there was a lack of urgency last year, but he was coming off a year where he threw 35 and 18, where his wide receiver had made the Pro Bowl. There was no buzz last year, or not a very prominent buzz, that, hey, this guy's got to get it done right now or we're in a lot of trouble. Right now, that's the buzz.
Well, did you ever have a feeling like, because I didn't get this sense from Blake, and I got this feeling. I didn't have that sense from him.
No, but I just think it's heightened, because it has to be heightened. I mean, it's obvious. Right now, there's no secret that if he hasn't performed this year, I can't imagine him being here in 2018 if he has a year this year like he did last year. I mean, I'm not breaking any news there. That's the general consensus. And, you know, so there is a shelf life for quarterbacks of how many chances they get. This is a chance Blake has to take advantage of, because it will be difficult to get another one. And that's just how the NFL works with quarterbacks these days. So this is a very important time in his career. He gets that. I'm not surprised he's going to California for a month, because I think this is a guy who, you know, he doesn't want to wait and cram for the test. He wants to be ready for the test.
Yeah, and I think there are guys like Alex Smith where you're replaced by a guy that's an emerging player.
right,
and Colin Kaepernick. That's a different story than
sure.
If it didn't work for Blake this year in Jacksonville,
Alex Smith's reputation was
and he's
not,
being replaced by nothing. There's right. not anything on the roster where they're saying, "Well, let's get a look at this guy." It would be we're just done with this
well,
guy.
Alex Smith
that's
had
not
gone
what
to
it
playoffs
was.
And
Alex.
I mean, yeah, he had had some success. Blake really hasn't had any success. I mean, he's had some statistical success in 15, but there's no real body of work. I mean, I think he'd be the first to tell you this. And he said this out there. They're tired of being average. They're tired of, you know, they're tired of saying, well, we're going to be. Well, we might be. They want to do something. And it's good to feel the sense of urgency. You got this idea listening to Blake, and I don't want to overplay this, but he's sitting there, okay, it's June 14th. Training camp starts, what, July 28th, whenever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You got the idea that he's looking at it. It's only 34 days, or there's only 44 days left. What can I do in those 44 days to figure out how to get a little better? You know, I think last year during those 44 days, it was like, all right, I'm looking forward to training camp. Let's get started when it gets going. Now he wants to sort of maximize. He's got 44 days. Let's see how to use those days. And you don't have to in this league. A lot of guys take that time off. They go get a run in and have fun till camp starts. I don't mm-hmm. think he's going to do that.
No, I don't
so
get
for
that
him,
sense
that's,
either. Yeah,
I'm not surprised he's not doing that. But that's the storyline with Blake right now. The storyline could have been, hey, I'm going and getting away from this. I got to get my head right. He wants to maximize all the time he has, and it's smart. It's important, and it'll be a topic until it's not.
No, no doubt about it. It's the franchise quarterback
right
now. So that's going to be the story, whatever he says or does. That's going to be the story for the franchise. John Osher here with me. We'll get his reaction to the arrival of Brandon Albert.
Oh, yeah.
The fake holdout is over. Here in Jacksonville, as Brandon Albert has arrived.
The mini drama, as I call it.
In a Jaguars uniform. We'll get his reaction to that as we continue along. It is a Metro Rural Wednesday here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Let's talk a little bit about Brandon Albert then. Where, look, I think the whole thing has been kind of a non-issue, honestly.
I couldn't agree more.
Entire time. But, look, the way it played out, and when we heard Brandon Albert say what he said yesterday, it's like, oh, it was exactly what you assumed it was the entire time. Maybe the most interesting part being that, no, he didn't have that conversation with the Jacksonville Jaguars before it basically broke on social media that he wanted a new contract.
Right, and I give him credit because, you know, he flat out told the truth. Not that you necessarily deserve a medal for telling the truth, but I have been in situations where guys have sort of, you know, edged around that sort of answer and left it. Well, it wasn't said, but I sort of knew that there was something there that was going to, you know, he could have been far more vague about that answer. But he basically said, no, it was something my representatives and I thought after the fact. He was very upfront about it. I guess I found it less of a dramatic day. Maybe I'm the old guy who's seen so much. I didn't think it would play out any other way. I figured he would be here when the mandatory stuff started. I thought Doug Marrone handled it well throughout the 5 weeks, or how long Brandon was not here. He didn't like it. He would have preferred him not be here. But he also never even acted. As a coach, you can't even publicly say anything about them not being here. But you can hint around, and you can imply that it's a bad thing. I think Doug just sort of said from day one, look, he's been through this game before. He's seen guys not show up for the voluntary. It's not a great situation. But he never even implied trying to turn it into a crisis because he knew this is a veteran guy. And Brandon said it best. At this point, he's got to go. He's got to get in shape. He's got to show up. He's got to be there. And he'll be judged on what he does. And that's the bottom line with a veteran who doesn't show up for OTAs. If they're playing well on the 1st of September, nobody cares they weren't there. If they're not, then it's going to be a topic.
No, it's the Odell Beckham going on the boat before the playoff game, right? I mean, it's not the exact same thing, but it's not a big deal unless you lose to Green Bay.
Right.
And then it's a big deal.
I mean, again, it's a bad analogy, but for years I covered the Colts. I'm not sure I ever saw Marvin Harrison anything that wasn't mandatory. I didn't see Reggie Wayne anything or very much that wasn't mandatory. Didn't see Edger and James. But you know what? Those guys went to Pro Bowl, so nobody cared. They won games, so nobody cared. Right now, the Jaguars aren't there yet, so something like this is going to be a topic. I don't think his teammates care one iota if he wasn't here. As long as he, by the first or second week of training camp, is showing that he belongs, showing that he's an NFL left tackle, I never thought this would be a big issue. I don't think it'll be a big issue.
No, it doesn't.
But I thought he handled it well, and sometimes you can mishandle that. I thought he handled yesterday well, and I thought Doug did too.
No, I thought they both handled it fine. I do, you know, watching Brandon Albert speak yesterday, I understand why he did everything that he did. Mm-hmm. And I can also understand why, you know, he felt the frustration that he did as well. And we'll talk about that when we get back. As look, it's been a weird 5 years for a guy who's played that position at that kind of level. We'll talk about that when we return. We'll get some of your answers to the fan feedback question of the day today. Basically just asking you, is it water under the bridge now with a guy like Brandon Albert now that he's here? Because I know there was a portion of this fan base that was very upset with Brandon Albert for not being here during the OTAs because of a contract dispute. So are those fans kind of letting it go too now that he's shown up for the mandatory portion of this thing? We'll get some of your answers. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we continue along. John Osher, Fat Tony here with you on a Metro Rooter Wednesday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Why would you choose TireOutlet.com when you need tires? Well, it's a great place to get them, obviously, but convenience, price, selection, great customer service. They've got it all. Tire Outlet, TireOutlet.com. Download their app to your smartphone. So if you're ever caught roadside, maybe with a flat, you can get those tires delivered to the retail location of your choice, usually in less than an hour. With 6 retail locations on the First Coast, soon to expand to over 15 locations, Tire Outlet's got you covered. Wholesale pricing, premium service. That's TireOutlet.com.
This is Malik Jackson, and you're listening to the only weekday show dedicated to your Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Yes, we are. Malik kind enough to join us a little bit earlier in the show today. Talk about what's going on with that defense. Some of the new faces, Calais, Miles Jack moving to the middle. We'll give to you, I'm sure we'll hear some of those comments over the course of the rest of the afternoon here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I think Malik's important. I mean, it's... I wrote the other day, there's starting to be, I think Calais Campbell has come in and is just sort of naturally an immediate leader. I think last year Malik really wanted to lead, looked for ways to lead, but had never really done it before. And it seems that he, you know, and I thought he had a phenomenal season last year.
I did too.
And I'm usually not somebody who thinks free agents are big impact. I'm just not a free agency guy. He was good as a free agent. But it seems like this year he's sort of finding his voice and his way to lead. So now you've got him. You've got Paz still, who I think is still going to be a leader just because he is. Calais, Telvin. You're seeing a few more guys who, to sort of borrow an old Gus Bradley face, can own it. And I think that matters a lot. And I think that's encouraging for this defense. Just a thought.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. As we have just a few moments left here on the show today, we were talking about Brandon Albert, and something I could feel listening to him speak yesterday for the first time since, you know, they acquired him in trade, and he was here in Jacksonville. It's not the first time we've seen him talk about being a Jaguar, but it's
sure
since his whole saga, whatever it was, started.
He's here now, and he's not going to be anywhere else.
Right. So listening to him yesterday, it struck me. Look, I can totally get what he was trying to do, what his camp was trying to do, and I can also understand a player that has played at the level that Brandon Albert has played in this league at a position as important as left tackle to continually just be thrown around the way Brandon Albert has been in his career, especially in the last 5 years. I can understand why that guy would be frustrated with whatever circumstance he happens to be in, especially if he winds up landing in one that acquires you in a trade a day before you would have been a free agent when you would have got that guaranteed money, and then they draft a left tackle who looks like could push you away from that position in the next year anyway.
It seemed, and I don't want to overplay this because I know from experience what guys say in press conferences doesn't always matter on the field, but I thought it was interesting that Brandon talked some about spiritually, mentally, and physically sort of needing the last 6 months.
I can understand why.
Yeah, and so from his perspective, you know, he's in his ninth year. I don't really know what his off-season approach has been in the past, but if getting away, resetting, I thought he was interesting in that he was honest about, hey, it's difficult not to get the contract. He wasn't shy about that he wanted that. But he also kind of said afterward, you know, there's a lot of people in worse situations than me. I get it. it sounded like he was in a place where, okay, I tried to get the contract, didn't work out. Now I like where I'm at in terms of football. I like where I'm at. I'm gonna make good money. It's fine. Let's go.
Yeah.
And if he's got his mind in that spot, if this 6 months helped his body to hold up, then the Jaguars have a good player. So, again, I was never that worried about the last however long it's been because I figured he would be here. And quite frankly, a left tackle, I don't know how much he would have gained. You know, he'd have been in better shape right now. If he shows up in shape and plays, I don't think anybody is going to care about it. And they certainly clearly think that if he's playing left tackle, it's an upgrade over what they had last year.
No doubt.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we will see quickly some of the reaction to today's question asking you, is it water under the bridge now, essentially, with Brandon Albert, with him coming in? Most of the fans said it wasn't a big deal to me anyway, right, which is what I expected. The only kind of other response we got, and I think this is fair from Jarrell as well, no, he's not over it, not until September 10th when he pancakes Watt and Clowney and we get a win over the Texans, then we'll be good. And I think that's basically what he said yesterday, too.
But that was going to be the case even if he'd been here for 4 weeks.
If he didn't show up till July, if he didn't show up till August, that would be the case.
Or if he'd started lifting the day after the trade and gets pancaked by Watt, everybody's going to dislike him anyway.
Yeah.
So it's whatever.
That's the nature of it. John Osher, Fat Tony here with you. Thanks for coming in for a couple minutes. We'll see you again in the morning, right?
Fantastic. Look forward to it.
All right. Day three of the Jaguars mini camp tomorrow. They'll wrap things up, and then we won't see these guys for 6 weeks or so until the beginning of training camp.
Oh, boy, will I miss them.
I'm sure you will.
Miss me, too.
It will be vacation time for everyone around this building starting tomorrow right around 12:30 when everything is wrapped up.
As soon as you can get it, baby.
They'll be out this door, and they'll be staying away as much as they possibly can over the course of the next month and a half. So for John Osher, for myself, Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Malik Jackson, for Doug Marone, who we replayed his interview with me earlier today in the show from yesterday, that'll do it for us for a Metro Rooter Wednesday edition of Jaguars Today. We'll welcome in the boys of Midday Chalk next right here on 1010XL.
Kicking the crap out of somebody and then celebrating like rock stars afterwards.
This is Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field.